Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's March 8th, 2013. You're listening to the finest PokerCast there is. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
I don't know if I've brought this up on the show before. I think I might have, but, you know, my wife Jeannie, she's one of those extreme couponers. And, you know,
it's a good woman It's a good woman you have there.
Yeah, I mean, she does it, you know, pretty relentlessly when she has spare time. And, you know, one of our spare rooms looks like a warehouse at Publix or Sam's Club or something. I mean, it's just absolutely stockpiled, and it's fantastic. I mean, it saves us so much money, and she really knows what she's doing. But, you know, one of the things that she does is she orders 8 newspapers and gets a really, you know, 8 Sunday newspapers and gets a real good deal on it so that she gets all the coupons, you know, all of the packets and stuff. And then, like a ritual on Sunday night, she's, you know, putting them all in the right order and checking them and backlogging them and cataloging them, whatever she's doing.
See, so, I've been saying...
Wait, you blocked out there. What did you say?
I've been saying this for years. The solution to the dying newspaper industry is to put free coupons in every day of the week, not just Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
But those greedy newspaper guys probably sell those coupon books to someone where I would just give them away free. And you're going to get a bunch of people like your wife that are going to buy 8 copies every day.
Yep, yep, 8 copies every
coupons.
Day. Yep, absolutely.
And, and the other people that piss me off are the people that don't clip coupons at all. I mean, I can't tell you how much my wife, and she's not as extreme as yours, that saved us. But anyhow, I
don't. Well, you know, but the other thing is it puts my life in danger a lot, too, because she's like, oh, could you go dumpster dive in one of the recycling bins for me? I need another one of these, you know, to make the deal. And I'm like, oh, great. So, you know, she's got them all fanned out all over the place, and she's stacking them everything. She goes, oh, hey, look, it's Mike Sexton. I said, what? She goes, yeah, look at this. And sure enough, one of the flyers was for clubwpt.com.
Huh.
Now, that really shocked me. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. I mean, without sounding sexist, it's clearly an attempt to reach the female demographic. I mean, I don't know too many guys, if any, that are extreme couponers like that, you know. But it could have been a residual way to reach guys, too. It could have been, you know, hey, his wife sees it and shows her husband because, you know, like just like it happened with us, you know.
True.
And maybe I joined Club WPT because of it or whatever. You know, it got me thinking, you know, that's a pretty unique way to try to reach the female demographic or other poker players. So I was thinking, maybe what are some new ways that maybe NAF could reach some of those target audiences that we're missing that we so vitally need? And, you know, we've done hours of research on this. And the first thing we discovered is that we're not reaching enough male bathroom attendants.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and it's such a sad thing that we just aren't getting enough copies of our magazine or our brand awareness with these vital members of society. So I've done some research, and I'm looking to get our Ante Up logo put on those little hockey pucks that are at the bottom of the urinals.
Yes.
I think, and it has our website that kind of goes around the bottom, you know, so, it, you know, you can see it when you're peeing.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, it's their job is to replace those pucks, you know what I mean, when they're diminished, you know. So I'm figuring these guys, you know, they're going to learn who Ante Up is pretty soon, man. So coming to a urinal near you, Ante Up logoed hockey pucks or cakes or whatever you want to call them.
See, now, I know you put this on the show to be funny, but true story. One time we put somebody on our cover that people hated. Actually, I shouldn't say one time. I'm sure every cover there's somebody out there that hates whoever's on the cover, right?
Yeah, probably.
People poker players hate poker players, right?
Right.
But I remember this one particular one. This player was so hated that people actually were coming up to me and saying, why did you put that guy on your cover? I'm like, well, he won this tournament. That was, we're going to put the winner of that tournament on the cover. Well, he is the biggest cheater in the world. And people were ripping up the magazines. And I even saw one in the urinal of the bathroom, and people were peeing on it. So we've already been there.
Been there, done that.
Yes. And I'm sure the bathroom attendant loved cleaning that up more than the urinal cake.
Yeah, well, I figured this also would tackle one of our other lacking demos, drunkards. You know, I figured those guys stumble into the urinal 5, 6, 7 times a day. You know, they're going to know who Annie Up is by the time they sober up. You know what I mean? Then when they do, they'll log on and check out our website or something. You know?
I got to say, lacking demo, I don't know. I'm doing my, I'm pulling my double share here to get that demo into the Annie Up Nation. So,
We also learned that tire installers aren't reading our magazine enough. You know, the guys who install the tires at, like, you know, Firestone or whatever. So so we've worked out a deal with Firestone. You know the little caps that go on the tire valves?
Yes.
They're going to make little anti-up A's that will screw onto your tire. We already have an artist working on the mold right now.
That's great.
Isn't that cool? 4 little anti-up A's on every car in America.
Now, I think we need to make them even better. And we need to attach them to the stem with a little string.
Yeah, so they don't go. You don't lose them.
Right, because what happens is you take it off, then you pay the $2 for the free air, and you put it in, and you inflate your tires, and you turn. How could it run away? It was right here.
So there you go. You got anti up A's just on every. Can you imagine every vehicle having an anti up A with a little speed on it, tightening up your little valves for you? Come on.
You know, what would be great too is we get those installed at those little, 30-minute oil change places.
Yes.
Then they can probably charge an extra $25 for each of them.
So everyone wins.
Because everybody doesn't care. They don't care what they pay at the 30-minute. It's 30 minutes. $400 for an oil change and a flush? I don't even know what a flush is. Give it to me!
See, a flush. There you go. You're working a poker into it already. I'm telling you, it sells itself. The last thing we learned was that not enough elected officials are reading our magazine and know about our show. But you know what? We haven't been able to come up with a strategy for reaching them. So maybe make up a made-up deadline. That usually seems to get them all in a tizzy. So anybody can figure out a way for elected officials to learn about our magazine, please let us know. Because I don't think couponing is going to be the way to do it.
They can't settle the debt ceiling by May 31st. They all have to subscribe to Annie Up.
That's right. but no, I really thought that was interesting. That that they had a coupon, and it wasn't really a coupon. It was the code, just a flyer within the coupons. But
right.
Very interesting.
I mean, when you told me about it, I'm like, I was equally as interested as you were, but. You know, a couple things came to mind. I mean, you're right. Certainly not being sexist. I mean, the statistics support it. It is a more of a female demographic doing coupons. And really, if you think about it, this Club WPT or in these free, or I mean, these subscription sites really are. I'm surprised they don't do more female marketing outreach anyhow. And you know, if you talk to some of the folks that we've done business with, like High Heels Poker Tour and Lips, and folks that are really out there trying to get more women to play poker, I mean, what do they say are some of the barriers? I mean, one is intimidation, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to sit down at a table and be mocked for being a woman. Well, you know, you can go on clubwpt.com and your screen name could be Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, and no one's ever going to know you're a woman, right? So it's a perfect way for women to get involved. And then, you know, the other thing, and this isn't just for women, but for all new players, it's, feeling that you're going to get fleeced.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we as poker players have done too good of a job of, you know, raising attention to this shark versus fish mentality in poker, right? Much to our detriment, you know, it's costing us business at the tables, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when these folks say, hey, I can go on there, I can be anonymous, and the most I can lose every month is $19.99, sign me up. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a market that should be reached, and this is a good way. And then the other thing I thought about, and I think I told you this right away, I don't know whether this is actually a traditional ad buy for this company.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I mean, this is a company that's, and I'm not criticizing them, they've been very successful, that have built their this online site through free advertising on the WPT broadcast rig.
Right.
And then through, you know, affiliate advertising, which is, you know, pretty much they only pay for advertising if they get a customer. And I wouldn't be surprised if these coupon books, you know, trade in that affiliate type thing, with, particularly if it has a code or something on it. I would think that's probably what's going on here, and, you know, it doesn't cost them anything to do it. So, you know, more power to them. I'm very smart.
Yep, very interesting. And, I mean, there's no way for us to know, you know, how it went or whatever, but it is an interesting concept, and I had never seen it. It's weird to me. You know, you'll see some of the weirdest kind of promotional things in these coupons, and every once in a while you'll go in the back and there'll be like sewing kits and, yeah, you know, and coins and stamps and whatever, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, poker in the coupon book. I mean, a lot of people think of it as gambling, you know, even though it's a subscription site. It's just, you wouldn't think that the coupon thing would be doing gambling stuff, but they did, and it just goes to show you that it's getting more and more accepted every day, this game of ours.
Well, you did mention our new anti-up urinal cakes and tighter web stems. Obviously, all of that is in good fun, at least right now. But now you got my mind going.
Yeah, never know.
But we do actually, in all seriousness, have some brand new anti-up stuff to offer our fans that would like to buy them. We've just expanded the number of anti-up logo items available for sale. And then in the process of that, kind of consolidated all of our different shopping items into one website. You now need to go to antiupmagazine.com/shop, and there you have links to our Antiup logo store, which has jackets, shirts, hats, backpacks, caps, and more. You can also have direct links to our subscription page if you'd like to subscribe or get back issues of the magazine, links to our cruise and world championship pages if you want to travel with us, and then, of course, links to our former Antiup store, where we still have a tremendous amount of great poker products from a lot of different partners in the poker business. So a lot of stuff going on there. And I will say this, we have taken our knocks in the past of not being able to send our anti-up items to our fans around the world. But there is now, at least on the anti-up logo item, you can order internationally. Obviously, there's a little extra charge because, you know, we got to send it by boats or something. Carrier pigeons. Right. Something that's a little more expensive. But at least now you can buy, if you live in Canada or Denmark or Somalia, you can buy anti-up items now and enjoy them in your country. So go to antiupmagazine.com/shop and, you know, stock up on Christmas. It's not too early.
Yeah, the store looks really good. Scott's worked really hard on it, and I'm really happy about it. So I hope you guys really check it out. And for those who really wanted the stuff, you know, in the past, now you can get it if you don't live here, so... Very
first
exciting.
Day, we had a sale right away.
Awesome.
Yep.
That was me. That was my mom, probably.
Yeah, it's probably your mom. Yeah.
Hey, our hotline is 813-448-1120. You call it, we use it, we'll give you something cool. Here comes Gundam.
About the rate question that came up on an episode right after the letter files. I'm trying to catch up on my past episodes, but a person who called or wrote in indicated that the rake was significantly less in a cash game than a tournament. I'm just saying that's not necessarily true. It's a percentage per pot, but over the length of the night, you can pay a huge percentage of your overall winnings that go to rake. Matter of fact, it could be 100% or. So it's really a hard thing to compare, and it's definitely just not a true statement in general. That's all.
Now, before I make a comment about this, you know, he's Gundam Poker. We always call him Gundam, but he's Gundam Poker.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I never realized that. We've just automatically given him this nickname, but it's Gundam Poker. And he makes a very good point here. At first I thought I was going to argue with him.
That's always my first thought.
Yeah, I always think, oh, we're going to disagree. But no, I totally agree with him. He's absolutely right. Obviously, it's in proportion. So if you're playing for hours and hours and hours and hours in a tournament, you know, you've really gotten your money's worth on the rake as far as sure. playing per hands, but you still have to make money for you to be considered that you've made money on the rake. You know, if you win a right. tournament, you've literally paid, you know, percentage point of a percentage point of rake. Whereas, you know, you keep winning at a cash game, you're still paying that same, essentially that percentage of the rake. So I totally agree with him. It's weird. I'm not used to agreeing with him. I'm used to, like, getting ready to say, oh, come on, you know, or something. But he's absolutely right.
Now, am I wrong? But I thought the losers paid the rake.
Don't worry. I'll let that part out of the show, everybody. We don't want to get that started again.
Well, all right. Well, we always appreciate when Gundam Poker writes in always very thought-out responses, even if we don't always agree. But now, occasionally, we do agree.
Very and nice. Then when he calls in, it's always good, too. So we appreciate yeah. it. And he's going to get something, too, because we haven't had him on the show in a while.
Yeah, surprisingly. I didn't realize this, but we haven't. So we're going to send him a download of the Chinese 13-card poker app for Apple products from Smapsoft. You don't have to be a winner to enjoy this great app. You can download it yourself by visiting the iTunes store. And I do need to remind our folks, too, when you call the hotline, we have no way of getting a hold of you. So if you want your prize, you got to email us your address and say, hey, I was on the hotline, and then we'll get you your prize. So Mr. No Swag is still whining out there. Hey, I didn't get my prize. Well, you know, I don't know how to get it to you. So now, if you're ever on the hotline and we tell you win something, email us at podcast@dandyatmagazine.com, and that will be how we get your prize to you. If you don't do that, I can't help you.
Okay, well, our mailbag comes from Robbie. And he says, I have an idea for a show for some of us beginners looking to get into live tournaments. How about some of the basics? I know you probably covered these things before, but it never hurts to go over it again. Things like how to buy into tournaments. I play online tournaments, but I am going to head to Biloxi to play in some low-limit tournaments. Just some basics about how or what you need to know before you start to play would be very helpful.
Well, first of all, I guess we don't need an entire show on this, right? Because we probably haven't covered this. We have.
We dedicated a whole show to this once.
Right, right. But just some quick points. I mean, obviously, I think the actual buying in is usually pretty easy in most rooms. I mean, you just simply ask. I mean, sometimes they have a tournament, a big marked window for tournaments. But otherwise, I just say, hey, I need to buy into the tournament. And they'll point you to where. And you ask them how much. You give them the money. And they give you your seat card. And I guess that's the other thing, too, is if you're used to playing online is, you know, you get your seat card, that's where you have to sit. You can't go there and sit somewhere else or trade your seat cards, generally speaking. And then I guess, you know, just kind of paying attention to basic poker rules. I mean, maybe read the poker TDA rules would be a good thing, you know, on the flight over to Biloxi or, you know, if you're driving and your wife is driving the car and you can read them because that way you're aware of the rules because, you know, you can get away with a lot more stuff in cash games. But in tournaments, you end up getting penalties and all kinds of stuff. And I think it's better going in kind of knowing the rules.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is I always try to ask the dealer, you know, is there something about this poker room that I should know as far as rules or regulations? Is there something weird or unique that's, you know, that I think is accepted everywhere but may not be, you know, something like that. That's one of the things I'll say to him if I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is when you do sign up for a tournament, make sure you bring more than the buy-in because there may be add-ons. There may be rebuys or something like that that you're not aware of. Because, you know, sometimes people, their schedule is you know, tight, and they may sit down at a tournament where it's a rebuy tournament, or they may sit down at a tournament where there are multiple add-ons or something like that. And you want to get as many chips as you can. If you can afford it and you think it's a good deal, you want to be able to make that decision and not say, oh, man, I only brought $60 for the $60 tournament. So always bring a little bit extra because the dealer may say, hey, do you want the bonus or whatever? And so that's another good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, and then also probably, you know, looking around the city, I mean, pick up your copy of Ante Up and figure out where the tournaments are and then just figure out what the best one is for you, too. I mean, you don't have to play in the one just because you're staying in a hotel there.
Right,
it might be
right.
a better one. Short walk away or even it's maybe worth a cab ride to get a better tournament, so...
Yeah, a lot of those Biloxi casinos are within walking distance, so you know you may be able to see a bunch of different casinos on one trip and play a different kind of room. So, you know, it is intimidating the first time you go, I think, but it's once you do it, you're like, oh, geez, I was worried for nothing, or oh, wow, that was a piece of cake or whatever. But you know, when in your mind you're building it up as, oh man, I'm gonna be strangers are gonna be dealing me cards, and strangers are gonna be asking me how big my stack is, and you know that kind of thing. But really, after a while, it's it's absolutely just second nature and nothing to worry about.
Yeah,
so.
It's just poker at that point. So.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself.
And like anything, just paying attention to what other people do, and you know, sometimes you'll find things. Let other people make the mistakes that you don't have to make them. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Robbie, definitely appreciate you sending in, and hope you did well in Biloxi if you've already went, or if not, good luck when you go. We've given you some swag recently, but everybody else, send us your mailbag questions to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, and we'll send you something wonderful like a deck of J-Design playing cards, the official playing cards of Antiup. Go to antiupmagazine.com/shop, our brand new site, and you can pick up your own decks there at the Antiup store.
Awesome. Hey, we got to call the floor this week.
Yay!
It's been a long time.
Yeah, we actually have a couple stored up now, so
good.
The next couple weeks we're going to be running good. So.
Very good. Okay, we have two players in this hand, Jack and Jill, we'll call them. Jack's a grinder. Wasn't that a movie, Jack Grinder? Oh, no, it's Jack Reacher. Okay. All right, so he makes his living from poker. Everyone...
Jack Grinder is in that back room of the video store.
Very nice. Family show takes a hit. You should host the Oscars next year. All right, so anyway, he's friendly, but he also plays for a living. Does a lot of talking during the hand, especially when he's heads up. He's a solid player. Jill, she's recreational, but she's good, and she gives action. So how the hand plays out, this is from Andrew Welch. He says, it's relatively unimportant until the river. Jack and Jill are heads up, and I loved that nursery rhyme when I was a kid.
Weren't they out back sucking on chili dogs? Tasty Freeze.
Outside of Tasty Freeze. All right, so the board ran out. The final board was 4-4, ace, 8, ace, rainbow. Jill, the recreational player, bets. Jack, the grinder, raises. Jill re-raises. Jack re-raises. Jill says something like, why didn't I just call? Jack flips over an ace and says he has ace 8. He then grins and flashes the card he didn't turn over to a player in the game who cashed out a while ago and has been dealing for the table. Jill gets mad, says he shouldn't be showing cards. She flips over ace 7 and says Jack, Jack, you know, shouldn't be showing cards to other people in the game, and she mucks. Jack never shows the down card to the rest of the table and rakes in the pot. After that hand, Jill is mad and says Jack is angle shooting or cheating, and that his hand should be dead if he shows it to anyone else. Jack later admits he was angling, trying to get her to fold, but says that people show cards to people not in the hand all the time at our game, which is true, and the person he showed the card to wasn't even playing. Jill is miffed, says it shouldn't be allowed, and may not be coming back for a while.
All right, well, I was actually, I should say surprised at Jody's response, but a little different than what I had told Andrew, so I think we're going to have a good discussion here.
Cool.
But here's what Jody Russell, our former poker cruise manager, had to say about this issue. He says, some rooms prohibit the showing of one or both whole cards during the play of a hand in cash games. If this were to occur during a tournament governed by the poker TDA rules, a penalty would be enforced here, but no one would be accused of cheating. The banter, showing of cards, and Jack's comment of, quote, in our game, led me to believe this took place in a home game. Regardless of the game's location, I firmly believe Jack is not shooting an angle, and in my humble opinion, he certainly isn't cheating. He's playing poker and putting on a show. He rolled over a card and made a comment to a player not in the game. Jack is more seasoned than Jill and made money on his ability to exploit her inexperience here. Sounds like poker to me. I think Jill could really come out on top here if she were to spend her break from your game studying some books and videos on PokerTel. She could also benefit from taking an Antiup poker cruise. Wow! And enrolling in the magnificent lessons offered by Lee Childs, Mike Wolf, or whoever else the pro is. Where she could sharpen her skills while having the time of her life visiting fascinating and exotic ports of call.
Wow. I too was a little surprised. I just didn't know that he was... I thought he might have been a little more strict with his answer. As far as what happened to this person or whatever. But I agree with him, though. I don't necessarily disagree with him, especially in cash games. Cash games showing cards is like vital to a lot of people. It's not a TDA thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I think where Jill got upset wasn't so much the card that he flipped over to everybody could see. It's showing this card to somebody else. And, you know, in the description, to me, it doesn't matter whether somebody's playing or not, you know, if it's a cash game, I don't think. I mean, I guess there's a slight difference. But still, I mean, you're giving other people information. Now, obviously, Jill could flip this around and you know, the danger of what he's doing is now you've got two people that have tells now, right?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, you know, now you can pick up a tell on the friend when he goes, you know, and I hate that. I really do. I mean, this is one of the things one of my bigger pet peeves at the table, besides people just stinking, is, gosh, look at these cards I'm getting, showing me and throwing them away. I don't want to see your cards. I didn't ask to see your cards. Now you're putting me in an uncomfortable position where I could be potentially influencing action totally involuntarily.
Yep.
Obviously, that's not the case here. I mean, these guys are friends and stuff. I guess I agree with Jody in that there's probably nothing wrong with this. It's not cheating. It's definitely angle shooting, which the guy applied. So I guess I don't necessarily disagree with them. But what I wrote Andrew was, you know, I think this kind of speaks to having more specific rules in your game. And I don't know whether, again, like Jody said, I don't know if this is a home game or just a casual casino or something like that, but there probably should be a little bit more formal rule. Now, Andrew got back to me and said, well, yeah, we do have a rule about this, but you know, the player wasn't in the hand, so it doesn't apply. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But really the bigger problem here is you have a player, Jill, who at this point is probably not going to come back to this game.
Yeah.
And to me, as a player, that's a problem because obviously, as she's been described, she's not a very experienced player. That's where experienced players make their money.
And she gives action, too, right? The description said she gave action, too, so that's another
thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to lose
that. So beyond whether Jack was wrong here or anything like that, I think there should be an overall understanding from the players, if not from management, whether it's a home game or the casino, of trying to encourage players to stay and play and come back rather than to push them away by allowing, you know, silly gamesmanship like this.
Yeah,
and really, that's what I think it comes down to. I mean, you know, I don't think Jack's a jerk at all. This is just what he does. But I think somebody needs to explain to him that doing this while he won that pot, it's like killing the goose that's laying the golden eggs.
It's like, you know, tapping on the aquarium.
Yeah, I mean, he got money then. But he probably cost himself and all of his buddies that he just flashed the cards to a lot more money by not being more respectful to the other players in the game. So I guess that, again, I realize I'm not disagreeing with Jody. I'm just expanding on his answer and trying to say, yes, there's a technical answer to this question that is correct, but there's a more holistic way of looking at this situation that's probably for the best for everyone.
Mm, I totally agreed. You know, one other thing I wondered was, do we have rules in our home game like this? I mean, I don't remember any of us ever saying we couldn't show cards, or we do, or that we've ever discussed that. Whenever something comes up, like one time we were playing deuce to seven and a seven flashed,
right?
And we said that guy's got to keep the card because it's a wheel card, and someone's like, "What?" And we're like, "Yeah, it's smart." And then sure enough, we had somebody on their PDA quickly or smartphone look it up on Robert's Rules, and yeah, you had to keep it. But if it was a six, you didn't have to keep it because it's not a true wheel card.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that was one of the things that came up. So we kind of look rules up as we're going if we're uncertain. But I don't know. Do we actually have rules for our home games? I don't think we do.
No, I don't think we do. And I guess I'll say, too, I can't remember, or maybe you can because you remember a lot better than I do. I don't actually remember anybody ever exposing a card on purpose or accident, really, in our game. I mean, this situation that's described here.
Yeah.
Even the first part of it, I don't think has ever happened in our game with somebody turning a card over trying to get a read. Let alone the second one. I guess there's times, you know, I mean, we do set for, you know, hey, hold on to those cards after the hand. I want you to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a completely different thing, I think. But again, I think, I mean, I'm not trying to make our home game sound totally awesome, even though it is. you know, again, we've put a lot of work into our home game, I think, and you know, inviting the right people, re-inviting the right people, and, you know, obviously we've had a couple dust ups here or there, but certainly nothing big at all, and a lot of it's because we know we can sit there and we're all reasonable people, and we can sit there and talk things out and come up with a solution that we're all happy with. And I really don't remember a ruling ever that came down that somebody couldn't live with. So
yeah,
and then obviously that's different in this situation. We don't know whether this is a home game or a casino, but certainly there's somebody here, Jill, who's not normally here. And I think when that happens, you need to, you know, not treat them necessarily with kid gloves, but, you know, bring out your best customer service skills.
Absolutely. You don't want to lose that player.
Excellent. Well, very good call to force mission, Andrew, and that was well worth waiting for. And like I said, we'll have a couple more coming up, so please keep sending your call to floors to podcast@antiantmagazine.com. We'll get you answered, and if we haven't sent anything like we haven't sent Andrew, we're going to send you something great, like a classic tournament dealer button from tournamentbutton.com. Jobbers of riding home dealer buttons with timers built right into them. You can even customize them with your own photo or logo. Ask about the Anti-Up logo version and use code ANTIUP for free shipping.
Well, you know, as suggested by one of our fans, we are going to be doing a show pretty soon on new terms prevalent in poker that perhaps not all of our audience understands. And, you know, things like flat or jam and even some terms that maybe not aren't new, but they've written in now and asked us to talk about them, so we're going to. So whatever you think, you know, might need to define, just send them to us, and we will, at podcast@antiantmagazine.com, as Scott has said, or even call the hotline, 813-448-1120, or you can even post in our form at antiantmagazine.com/form, and we'll do our best to wrangle them all up together and give you some definitions on what we think they are.
We're running Aces Harness Park near Minneapolis. We'll host the Antiup Midwest Championship and Antiup Poker Tour Series April 11th to 21st. More information can be found at antiupmagazine.com/runningaces. And more details on all Antiup Poker Tour events can be found at antiuppokertour.com. And just announced last night, our good friends at Fifth Street Radio will be joining us for the main event of the Running Aces event. So they'll be broadcasting live there. So even more reason to come out and play. And remember, if you win that main event, you get to be on the cover of the magazine.
Very cool. Walt Strzokowski Jr., our 2010 Player of the Year and a single table specialist, will be our pro on our May 20th Antiup Poker Cruise out of Miami, which will spotlight Sit and Goes. Rates are no longer guaranteed, but call us as soon as possible so we can get you the best rate before the ship sells out. We're also sailing out of New York City and Tampa this year. Get all the details, including how you can win your way on board at Dover Downs and Naples Fort Myers Greyhound Track here in Florida, at antiupcruises.com. All right, buddy, I know there's got to be some news, so tell me what happened on the Antiup News Desk this week.
California will try again to pass an online poker bill. Senate Bill 678 would instruct the state's Gambling Control Commission to allow internet sites to operate in the state and to establish a framework for it.
Do we know if it's interstate or intrastate?
Well, right now, I believe that particular bill is intrastate.
Okay.
Whether that allows them to make it intrastate, I don't know. But what's interesting in California, this is a second bill going around. There's another one, too, that's a little different. You know, they're certainly trying out there to get into the game. And I think what we're seeing is, again, the kind of this pressure from Nevada, New Jersey, and Delaware, and other states. No one wants to be left out now. Certainly not a big state like California.
Yeah, and would you agree that that's probably the one state that could do the liquidity or whatever could survive on its own if it had to?
Certainly that, and maybe Texas would probably be, and maybe Florida.
Maybe New York? Maybe New York?
New York, possibly, yeah. Would be the states that have a fighting chance. But again, I mean, you're talking about one state, even as big as those states, versus, you know, the entire world, which is what people are used to playing. So, you know, I think it's still a big problem unless they can work out these interstate compacts.
All right. Poker Stars will rebrand the poker room of City of Dreams in Macau as the Poker Stars Live at City of Dreams.
Yeah, our good friends at Poker Stars are really being aggressive now and getting their name out there. I mean, they're working all kinds of deals. You know, they some of them are rebranding like this, some they're buying, like the casino in Atlantic City, really trying to get their name out there. And, hey, couldn't happen to a better company.
Absolutely.
Except for maybe Antiup. All right, and finally, the Massachusetts State Lottery will host a poker tournament April 6th. That's the culmination of a nearly 7.5-year promotion. The 560 players won't actually play poker, but will receive 2 cards and share 3 community cards in advance in the tournament based on their hand. The lottery missed that because of how long it took the game to meet the guaranteed prize amount that some of the 560 winners, and I am not making this up, have passed away since they won.
Oh, how sad.
You know, the first thing I thought about this was, one, I mean, this is, wow, they're having a huge 560-player poker tournament at whatever they call the Boston Garden now. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, 7.5 years, I mean, how much time have we spent on the show and other shows talking about the November 9 and what happens if someone dies?
Yeah.
You know, between July and November. I mean, that's like a couple of months. I mean, this game started 7.5 years ago. And finally now, can you imagine you won, you advanced on the very first day of this promotion, and you've just been holding on to this lottery ticket for 7.5 years, waiting for them to get up to the, whatever, the $15 million or whatever the prize pool is. So you can come and really do nothing, but just get lucky again.
Oh, man.
I mean, I can see me on my deathbed there going, God, dang, damn it.
You will it to somebody at that point, right? You're like...
Oh, yeah. And then they mention the story that, you know, those folks are still going to be active, quote-unquote, players in the promotion, and whatever money they win will go to their states. So, you know, they're not getting cheated out of anything, obviously.
But you don't get to enjoy it.
Yeah. Or I guess I could make a pretty nice tombstone for you, I guess. Maybe you get a little benefit out of it. But, wow. I mean, geez. I mean, I've seen a lot of these before, and I never really thought about it. But, you know... You know, this is kind of a common thing in lotteries that it's not everything's like the cash three or the Powerball where, you know, you're going to, it's over on Wednesday or Sunday.
Yeah.
At 7:30 at night between the local news and the Jeopardy. Some of these, you know, they do this, you know, hey, we're going to keep selling tickets until we get this much money and then we're going to do a big thing. And, but I've never heard of any of them lasting 7.5 years. That's pretty wild.
Man. If they were smart, they would, like, aren't they supposed to, like, try to get casinos there soon or whatever they're working on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They should have like somehow made it last another year or so and then have it in a casino or something. Promote it.
Now, I do believe, too, I think when you actually have a winning ticket right away, so those dead people, they get these 2,000, but...
Oh, okay. So they got some money before they croaked.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're playing for some serious money. I forget. It's in the millions. I don't know if it's five.
Jeez, 10, that's crazy.
Of course, divided by 560 people, so... But still.
Yeah, I think I would still take it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Had a bad day at the non-working office.
We have a fresh O'Malley's move. Let's get to it.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week, we're back at our regular $1, $2, no-limit hold'em home game. A lot of the regulars are here, however, there is one player we've never played with before, and you guessed it, he's this week's villain. We've only been playing for about an hour, and he's only shown down one hand, a full house, so we have no idea how he plays. He's up about $50 for the evening, while we're down about $75. The stack sizes are his 250 to our 125. The under-the-gun folds, MP folds, and we're in the cutoff at a six-handed table with the King of Diamonds, Queen of Diamonds. We make it $8 to go, the standard raise. The button thinks for a while before calling. The small blind folds, and the big blind calls. With $25 in the pot, the flop comes the Jack of Hearts, 10 of Hearts, 9 of Hearts. We like this flop, sort of. With an unknown to act behind us, we flopped the nut straight, but it brings a lot of danger with it. The big blind checks rather quickly, and we make a $15 stab at it. We've almost dipped below 100. The button quickly calls, and the big blind folds. With $55 in the pot, the turn is the 10 of spades. Another out-of-position pot, we check. Our opponent wastes no time putting $40 in. What do we do?
It's not until the end of July, but it's never too early to start getting excited for Antiup's signature event this year, the Antiup Poker Tour World Championship, or as Cosenza calls it, the Antiup Worlds.
I'm too cool for school, man.
You watch too much of the monster truck rallies, I think.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. As you've heard us say on the past 20 or so shows, this event plays out July 28th to August 3rd at the luxurious all-inclusive Hard Rock Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic, where everything is included, and we mean everything except for not what's not included. The event features 14 tournaments with buy-ins ranging from $115 to the $1,100 main event, the winner of which will appear on the September issue, the cover of the September issue of Antiup. I'm not going to be on the whole issue.
Yeah, it's not going to be like an autobiography.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to see the center spread, because I know whoever wins is not going to be center spread worthy. More information can be found, of course, at antiupmagazine.com/world championship. And if you didn't get that website, don't worry, we'll repeat it 20 more times during this interview. But joining us today to tell us much more about the event is an old friend of Antiup and the tournament director of the series, Sam Minatello. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Top of the morning to you guys.
Sammy the Deuce.
I always keep forgetting that we call him Sammy the Deuce.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, you know, I cash in a WSOP circuit event, and Nolan Dollar puts down Sweet. And I was like, whoa, 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 hey, buddy, I'm the Deuce. I'm not Sweet. People are going to get the wrong idea about me.
You know, the last time I saw you, you're getting closer to Sammy the Trey now, I think.
Oh.
That's not too nice there, buddy. All right. Just because your Packers had a bad year, don't take it out on me.
Oh, that was totally uncalled for. We're professional on this show, Scott. Take two.
We're not professional with Sam.
Oh, man.
Sam, yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. When we get to Punta Cana, I'm going to feed him to the sharks.
Yes.
There's no sharks.
Then it'll be me and you, Costanza.
That's right.
The magazine.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Scott, I'll let you go first, since you're going to try to redeem yourself here.
I will try. All right, so first off,
luck.
Sam, you and I did a site inspection of this resort, and am I right in describing it simply as wow?
Yeah, wow is about the right word, because I don't think there's so many other words to describe it. Just wow is great. I mean, when we were there, it was just an absolute phenomenal time. The food there is great. It's all-inclusive. The drinks are great. It's all-inclusive. Pools everywhere. Beach everywhere. My favorite area was the topless pool. I mean, how do you beat that? You just can't beat it. I don't even know. You guys are going to be in trouble. I might not be working when we go down there.
That would be a problem.
That's why I'm taking a crash course in poker tournament running 101, I think, just in case you're not around.
Oh, never mind. All right, forget it. I'll stay away from the topless pool.
Well, you know, as Scott mentioned in the intro, and on the show in the last few weeks, I have been really one to hammer out the fact that this is all-inclusive, but it's not always clear what that means. So here's what's included. A 780-square-foot suite with a jacuzzi and stocked complimentary mini bar. All food at 9 gourmet restaurants and room service. All drinks, including top-shelf alcohol. Someone will have to explain what that means to me later. All kinds of
money can buy.
All kinds of activities, day and night, Wi-Fi, calls to the United States and Canada, round-trip airport transfers on the island, and gratuities. In addition, guests staying 5 nights or longer get a $750 resort credit that can be used toward a spa, golf course, photos, upgraded wine, and or a lobster and champagne romantic dinner for two, so you guys can have some fun, you two.
Please, a sharp
we
pot.
Did that last time.
And of course, all of this is for $266 a night up to two people, and $45 more if you want to bring one of your children. As Scott put, whew. So Sam, what was your favorite part of the resort?
Well, besides, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been on the Antiup Poker Cruise, which is an absolute blast. However, cruises, you could eat your face off on a cruise.
Right.
But the food, it's just not top-notch. So when Scott and I went down there, I'm thinking all-inclusive, all right, at least I can have a few drinks. The food was absolutely amazing. It didn't matter where we ate. It was great. I mean, no wonder he's calling me Sam of the Tray. But you know, to me, I mean, that's what really makes a trip. I mean, you got to eat, and every restaurant there was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, the pools are great. You know, there's half-naked women everywhere. You can't beat that as well. But, you know, I think the service and the food was just top-notch.
Man, cool.
Yeah, that Brazilian steakhouse meal was still the best Brazilian steakhouse I've been to yet. And
I agree.
And that's truly amazing. I mean, I'm not trying to puff the resort up more than it is. You know, it speaks for itself when it gets there, but 5 different Brazilian steakhouses here in the state, and that night down there was just absolutely amazing, that food.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've been out of the country before, and I've been to Aruba, I've been to the Bahamas, and, you know, sometimes American food just isn't good, or food in general isn't good. However, we had no issues. Every time we eat lunch or we go to dinner, you know, it was phenomenal. The Brazilian steakhouse, I mean, it rivals Texas Day Brazil. It was great. Everything was awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to find out for myself. I didn't get to go on that trip.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Some of us have to do the hard work.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the trip was great. The only bad thing was we were watching the Super Bowl, and of course, he's a Packers fan, and I'm a Steelers fan, and we don't need to relive what happened at that Super Bowl.
That explains why you got drunk while you were down there, I guess.
Exactly.
But Chris, no, really, it is. I mean, I don't think the pictures do it justice, and obviously we're going to be running more photos in our April issue of Antia Magazine, so people would check it out. And of course, there's plenty of photos on the website and everything, but it really doesn't do it justice. I've been to a bunch of four or five Dominican resorts now, and I would put all the rest of them combined to get close to the quality here. I mean, it's just so expansive. It takes like an hour to walk from one side of it to the other. It's so big.
Cool.
And really, the rooms. I mean, I love all inclusive because I am, I just gorge on stuff.
Cheap.
As people probably know.
I'm more cheap.
That's right. You're cheap and fat. That's all you got to say.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm more like Sammy Cinco, but but really, I think that what I continue to tell people about more than anything else is the room. I mean, that room that you get is just beyond compare. I mean, a huge bed, has this jacuzzi in the middle of the room, a balcony, free Wi-Fi, a two-person shower, which, you know, I was just by myself, but I'm big enough for two people, so I turned on both of the shower heads. But really, I mean, for folks thinking about going down and looking for this year, I mean, even if you're only going to play a couple tournaments or whatever, you know, certainly the wife or husband is going to be very excited to be going on this trip down there and just hanging out and having a good, luxurious time, I think.
Oh, for sure, guys. You know, don't hesitate in bringing your spouses because they are going to be busy and they will not be bothering you while you're playing poker. Because there's plenty for them to do.
All right, well, speaking of poker, the resort features a large, gorgeous casino with a spacious poker room. Obviously, the highlight is the Antioch Poker Tour series. Take us into your thought process when you were designing the schedule.
Well, I know that you guys have a great, great, great big following, and you guys have been around for a really long time, and I know you have people that like to play every type of game. So when I created the schedule, I wanted to make sure we had some limit events and some no limit events. I think nowadays what happens is a lot of tournaments get saturated with no limit hold'em. But it's good to have change. It's good to run a different event. There are still a lot of people out there that like to play high-low stud, Omaha, high-low. So we did a half and half event. I really like the only tournament they had at the World Series. I think it's very interesting. It's a different twist on poker, so we're going to run an Annie-only tournament. I really like some of the turbo events that I've seen around the country. People start with large stacks. You could put every blind level in there imaginable. You just shorten the blinds. I think those are very successful events. So I just tried to cover all the bases when I put the schedule together, and I think we got a pretty good, you know, cornucopia of events going on.
Cornucopia? I don't think Scott understands that word. Wow. You gotta tone it down a little.
Let me add dictionary.com.
You haven't eaten breakfast.
I had a cornflakes copia this morning, so.
Oh, man.
Sounds like Sammy the Tray is a little hungry. We gotta speed up the show.
Deuce and a half, all right? I'm not just a tray, it's a deuce and a half.
Oh, man.
Well, Sam, one of my goals in hosting this series was to offer at least a few events that are affordable to the masses. You know, I travel all over the country, I go to these tournament series, and it seems like almost all of them, you know, the entry level is $350 or something like that for lead-up events, and I really do think that prices out such a large portion of the poker market. So, personally, I want to thank you for making that a reality. With some, I think we have nightly 115 events down there, right?
Yeah, of course. I agree with you. I think poker, more affordable poker is greater. The more people that can afford to play, the larger the fields are going to be. You know, the prize pools are going to get there. I completely agree with you 100%, and that's why I think that the nightly 115 is a great tournament. Also, I kept the buy-ins right around $200 and $300 for the daily main events at 11 a.m. with the $1,100 main event. So, you know, I think this is a very affordable tournament series, and it has a lot to offer for everybody.
Well, you mentioned the half and half PLO No Limit Hold'em, and of course the Omaha 8 Stud 8. Certainly PLO is becoming much more popular these days, but you know, it's hard to attract crowds for limit and split pot games. Do you think players are missing out on exciting poker by playing nothing but No Limit Hold'em?
I think it has to do a lot with your demographic, where you're really at.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that like to play Stud 8 and Omaha 8. I mean, you know, in my card room, you get Omaha 8 a few days a week. And, you know, we could spread Stud 8 every day if we wanted. On a tournament basis, yeah, I just think I wish people would get a little more imagination with what they run instead of just the typical No Limit. You know, it's kind of getting to be like a factory where everybody just goes into the factory and then they come out when they're done.
Yeah.
Whereas I think we need to mix things up a lot. Pot Limit Omaha is a game that's just exploded. I get 2 to 3 games a day. And a lot of people like to play tournaments. I put together a PLO tournament in my room. It's very successful. And I know that it just seems like everywhere I go, I travel and I play poker as well. And everywhere I go play, people are playing PLO. So why not run more PLO tournaments?
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a popular game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see the results every month. I see the series coming in, and the PLO fields are growing.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I just like to see things, you know, get a little more exciting, a little more variety versus, just all we see is No Limit Hold'em, No Limit Hold'em. A little bit of variety is going to be good for the poker world, because what's going to happen is people are just going to get bored, you know. Plus, a lot of players will just realize, well, man, I'm just no good at No Limit Hold'em. Or that's all there is to offer. They might not play anymore. So let's offer them some other games. Let's say, let them sit down and try their hand at a little PLO or a little Omaha High Low or a little Stud 8 or better. You know, those games might suit them a little more for their style than No Limit Hold'em. So I think we need to evolve a little more with our tournaments and just offer more variety.
Well, you mentioned this a little earlier, that we've included a bounty event and also an ante-only tournament, two formats that are growing in popularity. Tell us a little bit more, though, about these two events and why you think players are enjoying playing them more these days.
Well, the bounty tournaments, those are obvious. You know, players, they like to get returned right away. They're rewarded for knocking a player out. So everybody loves the bounty event because there's always an upside to it. Well, even if I don't win the bounty event, if I knock 2 or 3 people out, I get my money back. Or I can make a little money. You know what I mean? So everybody enjoys bounty events. I think you're going to see a lot more of those. Actually, to be honest with you, in the state of Florida, I've been traveling around, and they're definitely growing in popularity. You're seeing a lot more of them. The ante-only event, that's just really unique, and it's a really novel idea for poker. I think it's great. It's a great new twist on a tournament. It's completely unconventional, and it's just fun. It's something that's different. So, you know, people are curious about it, and I saw the way that it was run, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I want to see what that flow is like, because I've never... And I don't mean progressive flow either. I want to see what that's like to just always have to ante every single hand, because I think I would become a lot more aggressive if I knew that I had to put money in every single time, even though it probably works out to about the same.
You aggressive? Come on.
You are
correct. Players do have to become more aggressive.
Yeah.
However, you're the Rock of Gibraltar. Yeah, so you'll probably... ante out of the ante only event.
Yeah. I still have the highest percentage in the history of cashing in your room percentage, so just don't forget about
that. That's true. When you play 3 times over the course of 7 years and cash all 3 times, congratulations.
Right.
You are the all time record holder with a career earnings of $94.
Come on.
I will say one thing, though. I'm a little disappointed because we did write this structure, you know, quite some time ago, and there's this craze in poker right now, and I'm completely addicted to it, and it's called open face Chinese poker.
I guess.
And I really, I'd love if we can add something, I might sneak in an OFC tournament because the game is absolutely amazing. I just had to throw that in there, guys.
Yeah, we've been talking about it on the show lately. We haven't got Costanza to play it yet, but yeah, I think it's an absolutely awesome thing. So yeah, we could find some. There's some wiggle room somewhere on the schedule to try that out.
Well, don't worry. I'll be holding lessons if you guys are interested. It's not too expensive, I promise.
Terrific. Well, you know, we're talking about all these different formats and different disciplines and everything, but of course the highlight is an Unlimited Hold'em event, and it's our Antioch Poker Tour main event, $1,100. And not only does the winner get a fistful of cash, but he also appears on the cover of the magazine. How much of an incentive do you think that is for players, knowing that that extra recognition is there?
Oh, it's awesome. It really is completely awesome. I mean, that's what people want nowadays, is they want recognition. I mean, you look at the WPT and the WSOP and, you know, what television's really done for poker. And, you know, it's the same thing with your magazine. And that people, they love to look in your magazine and see their results. And for somebody to have their face on the cover, it's just absolutely amazing. It's the ultimate recognition. It's going to be in over 300 card rooms in the United States. And, you know, people are going to pick it up and see who won. I mean, it's just amazing.
Cool. I have to agree.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was just down in Palm Beach, and I'm playing the main event, and all I can think about is I got to win this thing, not for the 206K, but because I know you guys can put my ugly mug on top of the magazine. So I'm just talking along going, I got to win this. I got to win this. I got to get my face on that magazine. But I came up a little short.
Yeah, well, short and wide.
Nice.
Hey, well, you're asking for it, buddy. You're really asking for it.
All right, well, Sam, our longtime listeners, you know, all about your long resume of tournament directing, but we obviously have several new listeners since you've been on the show the last time. You know, you worked several years in the World Series of Poker. You've done plenty of other special events all around the world, including at the Playboy Mansion, which you didn't invite me to, by the way. What is it about? What is it about tournament directing that you love so much?
I just think poker is an absolutely awesome game, and when I run tournaments, I'm at the helm, and I get to watch everything. I get to see everything unfold. I love to watch poker, and aside from being a dealer and a deal, you know, and seeing it from that aspect, I see it from its entirety, from the beginning of a huge field, from whittling down to the final table, and, you know, it's great to see people win, and I love it, and I just like to, you know, hear people say good things about the tournaments that we run, and I just like to put out a good product for everybody. You know, it's tough because you go around the card rooms everywhere, and everybody does things differently. So I like to take pride in putting out a product that people really enjoy, and it just makes me feel good. I mean, and I walked into Palm Beach last weekend, and people still remember me from when I worked the World Series. And, you know, it's nice when people have nothing but good things to say about you. It makes you feel good about what you do.
Well, what are some of the challenges in putting these events together? I mean, obviously, it's not cookie-cutter because you had a lot of the mixed games and limit games in mind and stuff. But what are some of the things that you pore over? I mean, are there stats that you're looking at? Well, what's the deal?
I really worry about the structure. I mean, the last thing I want is people to fly all the way to Punta Cana and sit down in a tournament that's only going to take 3 hours. You know, I really want somebody to not feel pressured. I want them to feel comfortable at the table. Like I said, I play myself, so I don't want to sit down in a tournament and feel like I'm under the gun right away. I try to give decent amount of chips. I personally love deep stack poker, so I love to run deep stack tournaments. I think you get larger fields that way. You know, there's a lot of thought process going into the payout structure. How many people do we want to pay? We don't want to make first place too top heavy. And like I said, the end product, you know, you can't make everybody happy. But as long as you can make 75 or 80% of people happy, they're going to come back and they're going to play again, which is what we want. We want to put out a good product. And, you know, I really enjoy doing that.
Cool.
All right, already some rooms have announced satellites for our world. Details on those events at Dover Downs and Thunder Valley Casino Resort. can be found at antiupmagazine.com/world championship, with details coming on Cypress Bayou satellites pretty soon. And if your favorite room is not on that list, ask your manager to give us a call, and we'll be happy to set something up in the room. But Sam, we know you're going to be sending a lot of players from the room where you are director of poker operations at, Sarasota Kenna Club's One Eye Jacks here in Florida. Do you have the details on those events yet?
We're going to run a $200 buy-in with $100 unlimited rebuys for the first four blind levels. However, we are seeding the tournament with $12,000 worth of packages, which is four packages. So right off the gate, we're guaranteeing four seats. And then anything above and beyond that, of course, you know, people will win. We're anticipating 7 to 8 seats out of that super satellite. And then based upon the popularity of how big the field is, we will possibly run another one in the end of April. So we anticipate 8 to 10 people out of our room alone.
Wow. So excellent. Did you say when the first one was going to be?
I haven't set the date yet. There's a lot of poker going on in Florida right now. Jacksonville's running a WPT, and then Hollywood's running a WPT. So I really got to sit down and I got to find a date in between the two of them, because a lot of my tournament players travel a lot, and I've already spoken to a lot of them, and they want to make sure they're here for the Super Satellite. So I've got to sit down and hammer out a date, but it's definitely going to be right around the middle of April in between those two events.
Okay. So yeah, that way you try to catch the players who are going from the north to the south or whatever, right?
Yes, yeah. And you can go on our website. It's skcpoker.com. We post all of our tournaments, the monthly schedule on there, so you can check our schedule and see when it's going to be.
Very cool.
So, yeah, we definitely will have that information on the website.
Well, you know, we can't let you leave either without telling us what else is going on down there. You have other things coming up? Because you always seem to put on some pretty cool events.
We're giving a car away today, actually, a Jeep.
Today?
That's been our promotion. Yeah, today we're doing double high hand jackpots, 4,999 Royals, and we're giving away a Jeep Wrangler today.
Well, can I have it?
Yeah, we've been... no, you can't.
All right.
No. All right. We've been very busy. We have given away a Fiat in the past, and it was highly successful, and the Jeep giveaway has been successful. So I anticipate over the summer we're probably going to give away a Mercedes-Benz. We're going to be running satellites, of course, for the Antioch Poker Tour World Championships. And we're just chugging along. You know, I've been trying to play along as run a card room. We just got back from West Palm Beach. I'd like to congratulate Jacob Mast for winning his first WSOP circuit ring. JD and I have worked together for a very long time. He was my assistant manager here. We worked the World Series together, and I think it's great that he won his ring. We're going to go ahead and, you know, create a little shrine for JD in the corner of the room and show off his ring.
What a year he's having, huh? The Ravens won the Super Bowl, too. Isn't he a huge Ravens fan?
No, that's... come on, buddy. You're getting screwed. That's RJ.
Oh, that's RJ. Okay, I'm getting confused.
That's RJ. However, RJ is also quite the poker player. He played in the WPT main event 2 weeks ago, came in 12th, so... You know, and RJ has won a few tournaments down in Pompano. RJ's chugging along, doing really good. I anticipate a really big cash for him as well. And, you know, I can't say enough for what we do with poker here in Sarasota. A lot of our tournament players are highly successful. Sherry Amato, she made the TV table of the Heartland Poker Tour in Daytona Beach. Her husband, Emilio Amato, has won multiple preliminary events all over the country. He's a successful poker player. Marsha Wolak, she won the ladies event at the WSOP 2 years ago. She is homegrown here in Sarasota. So we pulled out a very good product with our tournament players. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. I enjoy traveling around and seeing my players do well. I think it says a lot for our card room here and what we do for the players, for them to go other places and be successful.
I think the problem is you have too many right-hand men. That's how I got confused.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. I was confused there.
Well, I'm left-handed.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Oh, man. Well, Sam, we always enjoy having you on the show, and you letting us poke a little fun at you. And definitely hope that all of our listeners will come down to Punta Cana, hang out with Chris and me and Sam in Paradise in July. One last time, the website for more information is antiupmagazine.com/world championship. And thanks as always, Sam, and good luck with all that great stuff you're doing down in Sarasota.
Thanks, guys. I will see you soon.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
Backstage, the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Lily had two queens. She was hoping for a third to match her pair.
Okay, I had to do a double take when I got this week's Hand of the Week, Chris.
Okay.
Because the email address was Dave Long.
Isn't that your brother?
That's my brother's name.
Yeah, it's your brother.
Yeah, I mean, his name's David, but he always goes by Dave. That's what I've been calling him. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And I know, obviously, he plays a little bit of poker. He's nowhere near into it the way we do. And I know he's listened to the show a couple times. He keeps making fun of me of the Bert and Ernie reference on the very first episode. But I didn't think that he was a regular listener. Well, it turns out he's not.
He's
this
not.
Is, this is another Dave Long. You know, it's so weird because it's such a rare name, Long. Dave. I mean, I don't know a lot of Daves. So to get a Dave and a Long together, it's very shocking that there's more than one of them. But no, this is actually one of our listeners, Dave from Pennsylvania. And he did say, that's right, me and Chris have the same last name. Maybe that's why I hit the...
No.
By the end of it there. But no, it's
Scott. It's yes. Scott. Not Chris. What's Long. It? Chris Long, isn't he a football player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Related to... Howie Long, right?
I don't know.
Jake Long?
Maybe. All the Longs are related, aren't they?
Stevie Long? Some kind of Long.
Go Long?
That would be an awesome name. He'd have to be a wide receiver.
He would have to be.
He'd be like a 365-pound Billy Bob guy from Varsity Blues, and Dad would say, no, you're going to be a receiver. Slim down. Get on MyFitnessPal like Scott.
Jeez.
All right, so anyhow, we've abandoned that. But no, this is Dave, and I believe he lives in Wilkes-Barre. Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Did I get that right? You know, because I know the entire time growing up, I called it Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, I'll defer to your judgment on that. I think it's Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, that's where he's from. And he was playing at Mohegan Sun, that beautiful casino there. And he was playing 1-2, no limit. And he said he used to play all the time in college. Sure, we all did. But haven't been able to play the past year and a half since graduating. And he said he played this past Saturday for the first time, whenever he sent this in. It was probably 7 years ago. But a new table just started, and while we waited, what do I see but a guy pull out Antiup Magazine.
Nice.
I was hoping to take that as a sign from above that this was going to be a good session.
And it shows that it couldn't be 7.5 years ago, because the magazine wasn't around then. So we're narrowing down the time frame here.
Yes, so it was possible that you could have won a ticket to the Massachusetts lottery game before having this Hand of the Week sent in. All right, so he says, I bought in for 200, and after about an hour of play, I went up to 275.
Wow.
I did say he worked his way up.
Okay, he went up.
Probably could have just put three green chips back on the table. I don't know. But now it's currently down to 118.
Oh.
You know, the famous rags to riches to rags story.
Yeah, it stinks.
Typical play at the table was almost everyone limped in, and then the action would start after the flop.
Okay.
Small blind, and dealt king five offsuit. Five players had limped to us. What do we do?
Shove.
A little squeeze play there.
Hell, you're in the perfect place to do that. They all limp, right? Why not take it down? And if you're wrong, you got a king, so maybe you'll win with it. I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, I realize there's a lot of limping out there in the small blind. If I do call, I have to flop two pair or trips for me to continue with this hand, especially since it's offsuit. So a lot of times I would just say, you know what, it's just not worth the buck. But with five players limping, that's 10 plus the big blinds, 12. So you're getting like a ton of money on yours. So maybe I'll throw the dollar in, but I would not raise with it unless I knew those guys would fold and, you know, whatever. But even then, do I want to do all that for $10? Probably not. So if I limp, I have to flop two pair or better. And if I don't, I'm done with the hand.
This is a situation where I always slap around our listeners that call here.
Yeah.
Because they say it's only another dollar. I'm like, but yes, you've got a crap hand. King five, it is crappy. The K stands for crappy. But in this particular situation, I'm not going to slap around my brother.
He did enough of that growing up.
Exactly, yeah. And actually, he slapped me around a lot
more. Yeah, I kind of believe that more.
His little brothers, I hate that. I'm the boss. And here's why. He's describing this action, and if he's describing it correctly, and I have no reason to believe that he doesn't, that the standard play at the table is everybody limps in.
Right.
In that case, I think you end up losing value by not speculating with hands like this. If, as you mentioned, you're disciplined enough to know what you're looking for on the flop.
Yeah.
You know, in a normal game, you know, where there's normal raising and stuff, then definitely I'm throwing King 5 away for that buck every single time. But if everybody's going to limp all the time and give me a good price on every single time to really punish you, then okay, I'll put the buck in and take a shot. That being said, too, I mean, I kind of like the squeeze play a little bit here.
Yeah, I do.
Not the all-in, but...
Right, if I knew I could get in the fold for, like, $20 or something, I might try it. But I just don't know if they would fold either. I don't have that information, so...
That's the problem, is, I mean, he says everybody limps in, but he doesn't really say what happens when somebody raises.
Right.
And I would think, usually in a limp fest, it doesn't matter what you raise to. Those five people come along.
Yeah.
You know, you raise 50, oh, what is it to be 50? Oh, okay. I mean, and then it just totally ruins everything, so...
Yeah.
I would have to know that, but I think the safer play is to put the buck in here.
Yeah, and like you said, since they always limp, there's no way you can put anyone on any kind of hand or range. So if they're always limping, you have to hit this pretty hard. Because if you hit, say, just the king or a five high board, you don't know what you're up against. Somebody could be limping with king, queen, or king jack, or could have, you know, a straight because they're limping with baby suited connectors or something. So you really have to hit this hard on a when everybody limps. You can't just think your king is good or think your five is good if you hit it. There's just no way.
And hit it hard and also pay attention to what everybody else has. You're right, because, I mean, you're right. It's impossible to put people in ranges when they limp like this. So,
yeah.
You know, if it comes and there's a straight possible on that flop, I'm going to have to give somebody respect for the flop if they play back at me pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so our hero did call, and he said, hoping he hit the flop or just fold. He didn't say exactly what he's hoping hit on the flop. Let's hope it's big, like we say. And the big blind checks. So seven of us, if I counted correctly, go into the flop.
Yeah.
Which is the king of diamonds, deuce of hearts, six of spades. And, of course, we're in the small blind, so what do? Since we did not hit this hard.
Check.
We'll repeat this again. We did not hit this hard.
Yep. That's right. Check.
Yep, checked, hoping it checks around, and then I get my five. And even my five at this point, I'm not really excited about. And a king, I don't really know what I'm going to get in the rest of this hand that's going to get me too excited.
No.
This is a pot where I just hope I can limp to the end and make a little money.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it checks around, and then, like, we turn two pair or return, you know, another king. But even then, I'm worried now. Yeah, we should have just folded preflop or raised, because this is really just a nightmare.
Well, no, again, this is what we're talking about. I mean, for me, it was worth a dollar to see this flop. This is a flop that's going to get us in trouble 96% of the time. So as long as we're disciplined, this flop really should look to us like, ace, deuce, tray of hearts is really what this flop should look like, you know. Are you going to put another dollar into that pot? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put another dollar into this pot.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to. Yeah, I don't think I'm definitely not betting, and I don't think I would want to call someone's bet with just a king five here. There's just no way.
All right, so our hero did check. Yay! Thinking I didn't want to lead out with a bet to get re-raised, and I figured I would be outkicked by someone else since I only had a five. All right. The big blind checks, next player checks, and then a middle position player bets $10. Everyone remaining calls, and it comes back to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. I think I'm done with the hand. Because even now, if you improve, like, let's say you do improve to a 5. Anybody calling $10 in a limped pot could easily have 3-4. How confident are you with king 5? Mm-hmm. And then it's almost certain to give somebody a flush draw on the turn here now, too. You know, there are a lot of things that have to happen for us to win this hand, then I don't think I want to risk any more money to do it, especially since I'm already down, you know, from 200 to what amounts to 115 now. I have 115 left. So, yeah, or 116. So let's just get out of this now all we can and just let it go.
Yeah, and let's kind of review how just absolutely god awful our situation is here. We're in the worst possible position, small blind, right?
Yep.
We have a top pair, but with one of the worst kickers possible. And we still got a bunch of people in this pot, and now the pot's getting bloated. Now it's probably, what,
554 or so.
Probably maybe 60, assuming the big blind comes along. You know, the next bet from someone is going to be at least 30. And if we hit, you know, our king or five, it's going to be tough for us to fold. And those are going to be trap cards, I think, for us.
Yep.
Let's just, you know, have the little paramutual woman come over and bet on the next race.
Unless you're playing speed poker.
All right. So our hero decides to call, hoping to trip up or hit two pair and then make a move. Well, we've already discussed why that could be dangerous. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't happen. The big blind and the under the gun also call, as I expected.
So nobody folds.
No one folds.
So that's $70 in the pot on top of the, 14? So you're looking at about $80 in the pot now.
$80, seven-handed, and we have top pair with weak kicker. In the worst possible position.
Yes.
Did everybody say all that stuff?
Yeah, I think that's, but it's bears repeating.
All right, the turn is, wait for it, five of spades.
Oh, no.
So our board now is king of diamonds, deuce of hearts, six of spades, five of spades. We obviously have our two pair now. Two spades on the board, so there's a flush draw.
Straight gets there.
Straight as possible. And we are first to act, staring down six other opponents. Not that I'm trying to lay this on too thick.
Check. I can't bet. Check.
Yeah.
I can't bet. I mean, it makes no difference because now that, yeah, okay, we hit kings and fives, but, you know, a straight got there, flush draws aren't going anywhere, and, yeah, do you want flush draws to come along? Sure, but seven-handed, you know, six players up against my kings and fives, we might have taken the lead in this hand now, you know.
It's possible. I'm certainly not dismissing it, you know, but we can't be confident about it.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, if you think about other hands, could 5-6 be out there right now? Sure. Could deuce-6 be out there? Oof. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Could be the big blind. The big blind could have deuces and sixes, but would he have checked that flop?
But in a limp fest, it could be king-deuce or king-six, too.
Yeah, you're right. So we could be trailing anyway. I don't know, but I'm not too confident with kings and fives right now. So I think I'll check and hope that everyone's scared by it, and then I fill up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and what's really unfortunate about this now is this is why I would not have put the $10 in. Because now my hand is better. It doesn't change anything in my mind. I already said I didn't want the 5 to come. But at this point, if someone bets 10, 20 bucks, maybe even 30, now I might have to think about calling, hoping to hit that 5.
Jeez.
And that's the problem here, is now you're going to get sucked into that. Chances of that 5 coming are minuscule. And so you're just going to waste that money. And it would have been better just to save the $10 on the last one, or even save the $1 to begin with.
Yeah, good point.
All right, let's see. Our hero checks, thinking I will check raise and try to make a move. Don't do it! Don't go in there! He says, most players at my table weren't of great caliber. Well, at least we get that. Actually, to be honest, that's even worse.
Yeah, it makes it harder.
Because that makes it easier for them to have a bunch of these combinations that we're talking about that most players wouldn't be playing. And also, they're more likely to call your move, too. They don't pick up on moves. All right, so we do check. The big blind bets $50. Ooh, a little too expensive for me. He says, the big blind has always showed down monster hands, but every time he has Hollywooded it up big time, acting like he had nothing and then shoving his stack in. I found it was weird that he was betting since it's contrary to how he plays. The next player goes all in for $151. Decision's getting easier.
Yeah.
Says, this player has been at the table for 30 minutes, was away on the phone for most of the time, so I have basically zero information. Folds around to the button where an old man sits who gets married to any high pair. He thinks for a second and calls the $151. Comes to me and I start to think. He says, I then hear the old man say to the man next to him, let me hit my outs one time today. So I immediately knew I had him beat. Because my thought was that the big blind must have a marginal hand, or why else would he bet out aggressively when he normally tries to act weak? So I figured I had him beat. The call obviously would cost us our entire stack of $106. What do I do?
Fold. There's no way that all those players, one of those players, doesn't have us beat. And it's probably a straight. But there's no way that... And if you know that going in, you know that you're beat, then you're counting on five outs. And actually, the kings really can't be considered outs because someone could have king six, and if the king comes, you still don't win. Yeah. So really, you have two outs. You have a two-outer here. There's no way I'm risking my entire stack to get what looks to be about 4-1 of my money. Maybe something like that. I haven't added up the whole pot yet, but to try to hit a two-outer, you know, which is 22-1 or whatever. So I'm certainly not getting 20-1 of my money on hoping to hit a two-outer to take this pot down. So really, there's just no way I can call this now. No way. Given with the information we know, given that there is a pretty decent bet from the big blind who hadn't done anything yet. So when you're in the big blind, you could have two random low cards, and not that anybody else couldn't, because we said they all limp in, so they could all have random, but big blind especially could have something like 3-4. And then you're looking at a reshove or a shove to 151. That's huge. And then another guy calls. I mean, who are you beating here? Yep. They can't all have draws, and they can't all shove on draws. You're behind. And if you're behind, you have to hit two outs, really. And if you get those two outs, it's a miracle. And I don't want to put $106 of my money in on miracles. So I'm folding.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Pretty easy decision. 100%. Yeah.
All right. Well, our hero says I took my time and made the call. Let me take a little bit more time next time. The big blind folds and shows me deuce five for bottom two pair.
Oh, great. One of our outs.
Now we are down to a one outer. The man who pushed all in immediately flips over tray four of diamonds for the nuts. The old man on the button flips over ace king of spades. Wow.
Wow.
The river comes and bam! Five of clubs.
No way.
Boat up to take down the pot of over $500. I flip my boat to the man who had the nuts, stormed away from the table, cursing in disgust. I know I got extremely lucky hitting a one hour, but did I make the right call? Should I have folded? Was I getting the right pot odds for my hand? I figured I would have had a better chance of winning four times my money in one hand when I know I have two people beat already.
Well, I think he answered his own question before he even asked it. I know I got lucky hitting a one-outer. You knew you had a one-outer. A one-outer. And you called $106 to hit one out, really. You didn't know it was one out of time, but you could have really made it two outs if you thought hard enough about it. Yeah, that was.
And I think this is what... I'm not picking on Dave here. I struggle with this all the time. And this is where I defer and bow down to the Gundams and the rants of the Binary Bunch, because they're much better at this stuff than I am, and doing basic math at the table and understanding. When he says they have a better chance of winning four times the money in one hand, well, yes, there are lots of better chances of winning four times the money. But we get blinded by thinking, oh my gosh, everybody's in now. If I hit, then it's going to be a great pot. And you forget about the odds. And we clearly did not have the odds to make this call. We got lucky, and it's beautiful. And this is one of those where you go home and you take... You ask the dealer, hey, can I have the king and the five? I want to take him home. And frame him.
Frame
and
him.
Never again play him again. And just, hey, I'm going to die winning with king five. again, like I said, I'm not picking on it. It's tough. Sometimes you get blind at the table. You need to slow down and actually do the math calculations and realize that this is not really a tremendous call, a chance of winning four times your money. This is a tremendous opportunity to lose your entire stack.
Yeah. And I think we got not only lucky that we hit the five, but that it wasn't the king. You know what I mean? Not that it would have mattered, because the ace king wouldn't have caught him. But look what the hand you're up against. You're up against ace king on that flop. You were so lucky to hit the five, but then hit the five again and actually be the last five in the deck. so many things had to align for you to win that hand. And when you're playing in a game like that, you need to just get out pre-flop with King 5.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, Dave, hey, we certainly appreciate the hand of the week, and a reminder, everybody else to send your hands of the week to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And even though you're $500 the richer, Dave, we're still going to send you something more, a copy of the ebook You Called Me With What? By Rick Danford, which is available for just $1.99 on Amazon.com.
And I assure everyone this was not nepotism. He deserves the prize. It wasn't really his brother or anything like that. So, hey, I want to thank Sam Minatello, our Annie Up Poker Tour World Championship Tour Director, Tournament Director, and good friend for joining us today. A lot of fun having him on the show. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Sun, saw some good baseball.
I'm not sure you want any sun, man. That dome there is probably going to glow. How much sunscreen you got?
No. I covered it up.
That's all right.
I didn't want to blind any of the players when they were at the bat, so I make sure I cover my head.
I was at a concert last night and somebody was taking a photo and there's a bald guy right in front of her and it totally blew out the photo. She had like...
I believe it.
Scott, you went and saw Pink last night?
Yeah.
When I used to do the WPT, they used to put makeup on the top of my head just so I didn't glare too much on camera. And it's funny because then when I did the WSOP, I was like, hey, you guys going to put some powder on this? And they're like, no, we keep it dark. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Keep it dark.